Let's get our Bibles out. Everybody, let's get our Bibles out. Let's turn in our Bibles, and I will give you ample time to find your passages of Scripture today. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
We've been told a couple weeks past that when we come out of the tomb, we are to put on what? New clothes. But most of us, when we come out of the tomb, we have on our what? Our grave clothes. And I know this. And I know this is so true because I do this every day. And you tell somebody about salvation, and they're readily acceptable to it most of the time. You tell somebody, you know, about Jesus Christ, he died for your sins. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will not have to go where? To hell. And almost everybody says, hey, sign me up, I want that. And you bring people into a time of repentance, and you bring people into a time of forgiveness, and you have them pray. The reason why we have them pray, it says if you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's why we have you pray that prayer, the sinner's prayer, and they're saved. And they come out, and they know they're no longer destined for where?
Hell.
They're no longer destined for hell. But their life on earth is still what?
The same.
Everybody see the disconnect there? The disconnect is, I know that when I die, I will no longer go to hell, I'll be in heaven, but all the while I live on this earth, I will live like I'm in hell. That's the truth. That's the way it works. How many understand that? Nothing's changed where? The here and the now. All of my hope is looking forward to that event when I get to be where? In heaven. But what about the here and the now? What about the here and the now? What about making a difference today? Not just looking for that hope tomorrow. How many see the disconnect? And see, when we have Jesus in our life, not only do we have heaven then, but we have a little bit of heaven when? Now. And some of us don't have it. It's the same old, same old. Looking forward to that event when I get to go home. Now listen to me. I know that Sissy and I are destined for heaven. Praise the Lord. But there's too much stuff going on today. I don't want to go there. Now, if your life is like this, oh, I can't wait to get there. I hope my life is over. We got a problem. We got a problem. Everybody see the problem? This life here is so horrible. I can't wait to take me home. No, it should be, hey, I'm going home, so therefore, let me have a life where?
Here.
When you get up in the morning and your life is full of stuff, we got to work on that. We have to work on that part. And that's the part I told you. You know, we come out of the tomb, which is hell. We come out of the tomb into eternal life, but we still got on what? The grave clothes. We're living our life like we're still where?
In the tomb.
Does that make sense to you guys? And when we come out of that tomb, we need to put on what? New clothes. And new clothes start with a big word called faith. Faith. You see, when you come out of the tomb, you have to have faith in something. And when you walk out of the tomb into the light of day, when you come out of that dark, despaired place called hell, and you come out into a new existence, you're counting on something. What is it? Faith in what?
Faith in Christ.
Now, the faith in Christ, is it only to come out into eternal life, or is it faith in Christ to have life and have it how? More abundantly. What happened to that part? What happened to that part? And that's the part we'll be working on for like the next 8 weeks. That part. You see, people shouldn't know you're a Christian when they come to your funeral. Now let me run this by you. Let me run this by you. When I do funerals, and I probably do 3 or 4 every single week, When I do a funeral for somebody, they shouldn't find out you're a Christian when they ask me, oh, is Fred in heaven? Oh, yes, Fred's in heaven. Well, how do you know? Well, he said the sinner's prayer 4 years ago. Oh, praise God. I was worried. Shouldn't they have known he was in heaven before he died? Isn't that like a really good question? I mean, should people know you're in heaven when you're laying behind me and somebody come to me and say, oh, please, is Sue in heaven or is Bill in heaven? And I got to say that to them? They should have knew you were in heaven before you died. You should have lived a life that everybody knew you were in heaven. How many say amen to that? And that's the problem. That's the disconnect. We told you last week, if your arms are hanging low and your knees are feeble, let me help you what that means. What that means is you're walking around like what? Poor me. Life is horrible. I'm going to heaven though. Life is so horrible. I can't wait till Jesus comes. Hope he comes today. If that's your attitude, what are we supposed to do? Strengthen your knees, which means what?
Stand up.
And your arms are hanging low, what should you do? Get them up. Praise God. Do you think every Christian does that? Do you think every Christian in Faith Community Christian Church does that?
No.
Why not? So we need to work on that. Everybody see that? We need to work on that. And so, what is it? What do we have in our arsenal that helps us to live that life? And Sissy just read that for you. I hope she can read it again, Sissy. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes
the world. Stop right there. Stop right there. Whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the who? The world. How many are born of God? That's you. When you come out of that tomb, guess what? You're now reborn, right? Before you came out of the tomb, you were born of whom? It's pretty simple. Don't make it complicated. Before you were born a second time, you were born of who? Your mommy and your daddy. Your mommy and your daddy, right? But when you come out of that tomb, you are now born of God, of the Spirit. You're born again, rebirth. How many understand that? You're born the first time from your mother and your father. That makes sense, right? When you come out, you're born or born again in the Spirit of God, of God. And it says, for those who are born of God, overcome what? The world. Are you an overcomer? Or are you a succumber? Think it through. Are you an overcomer or are you a succumber? Guess what? We all got bills. How many's got bills? And guess what? We're all limited income. How many's income is limited? How many's fixed? It's fixed. And our bills are due and our bills come and you know what? But oh well, whatever. How many get sick? We all get sick. Now, we can either succumb to it or overcome it. Now, it says in Scripture, look what Sissy said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Sissy, read the next part.
And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
There you go, right there. And this is the victory. This is it. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our what?
Faith.
Our faith. That's it. Because without that, guess what? Might as well go home. Might as well just pack it up and go home. I'm serious. If your faith in Jesus is not faith in Jesus, you might as well just pack it up and go out. Go home. And everything evolves around our faith. Just you read the last part.
Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
There you go. And so, see, we have to understand that we are more than just from hell to heaven bound. We are from no life to an abundant life. And what are those things? We said overcome the world. That's what Sissy said, right? Those things that overcome the world. Well, what is the world that we're overcoming? It's a good question, right? Scripture says that our faith will help us overcome what, Scott? The world. Well, what is the world? What is that? Let me give you, what is it? Well, it is a worldly way. Let me tell you what it is. Anxiety, boredom, depression, despair, discontentment, fear, grief, and loneliness. How about I start there? How many know those things that are worldly, they just wrap around us and smother us? Is that true? Read that list for you again. I'm going to teach you about these things. Anxiety, boredom, depression, despair, discontentment, fear, grief, and loneliness. How many got some of that stuff going on, right? We're going to overcome those things. And if you're saying, hey, I got all those things conquered, you come up and teach and I'll sit down. Because I know you don't. Do you? Not really. And so through our faith, I'm going to teach you over the next couple of weeks how we're going to overcome those things. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 8, verse 37.
Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Everything that we're going to be learning in the next couple months has to do with that statement. And what is the statement? If you believe, you may. Believe what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We can't even go any further than that. What's that? You don't have that?
It's not in the NIV.
Oh, you don't have that? You have the cheaper Bibles. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You guys have the Bibles on sale. All right. Well, just look at me. Look at me. Don't look at your word. Look at me. There's another verse that you do not have. They must have ran out of ink. I don't know. But in the Bible, King James, New King James, it says, then Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered him and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So just look at me. That's it. You don't believe that, have a nice life. Because you can intellectualize it and you can understand it. I believe that Muhammad is the prophet of Islam. I do believe that they say he is. Anybody believe that too? I believe they say it is. He's not my God. But I understand it. I believe that Buddha is the deity of the Hindu religion. I believe that. But you know what that does to me? Nothing. I understand it. And if you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you don't believe it in your heart, you know what that's going to do for you? Nothing. No. Get your Jesus shirt on. Have a nice life. But you not only have to understand it, but you have to what? Believe it. You have to believe it in your heart. You have to own it. And the minute you say something like this, the minute you say something like this, well, I believe that for me, but for others, the minute you said that, you no longer believe it. You don't. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, period, end of statement, and there are no others. How many understand that? And that's where your faith starts. You got to believe that he is the Son of God. Now turn to this one. I know you have this one in your Bible. John the Gospel, 14, verses 6 to 7.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.
Okay, now, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And what's the next statement? No one. No one. Now, the minute you start to think this, now we're working on our faith now, we're working on our faith. The minute you start to think this, well, that's good for me. What about everybody else? What that means is that If you don't believe in Jesus, you won't go to heaven. And what that statement means is, well then, everybody else, whoever they may be, is going where? If that makes you feel icky, you don't have faith. You don't have it. You don't have it. You have faith in a God, but you do not have faith in what? The God. If you say to me, all other religions who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they go to wherever their God is, and I go to where my God is, you just made a statement that tells me that you do not believe what? That Jesus Christ said, and no one. Who's in the no one, yo?
Everybody
else. But that makes me feel what? Icky. I don't feel comfortable saying that. And some of us have even a very hard time in believing that, because I don't want to feel that. And the minute you go there, Jesus Christ is no longer who he says he is. And then you believe in somebody that you don't think he is who he said he is. Does everybody follow that? Now, where's your faith going to go now?
Nowhere.
It goes nowhere. Just the way it is. Now, I'm comfortable telling people Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But I don't like you now. Well, that's okay. I'll get over it. There's some people who don't like me. I'm going to cool with it. I'd rather tell you the truth than you not like me. Than me try to lie to you so you like me. How many believe the same thing? That's just the truth. And so when you believe that statement and you say, well, Jesus is the way. He's the only way. And once you believe that, thank God you know the way. And then get on fire and convicted to go tell other people what? The way. Turn in your Bibles, please, where you are, John chapter 6, verses 68 to 69.
But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
All right. When people say to you, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Some of us can clearly say, hopefully that we can say, well, he's the Son of God. We can get that out, right? He's a Son of God. And most of us certainly would be able to say that, and probably we would be willing to say that. But would you add to that? Well, you're the Son of the living God. You are the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven, and outside of him, there is no way to heaven. Would you be willing to add that? See, Jesus is the Son of God, that's pretty benign, right? That don't cause too many ruffling of feathers. It really doesn't. But when you add to that, and no one goes to heaven without believing in him, that starts to get a little bit icky for some people who don't believe what you believe. True? That statement starts to cause a little bit of feelings around the lunch table. Doesn't it? That feeling causes a little ickiness amongst our family members. That's just the truth. I mean, there's probably a lot of folks that don't come to our house. They probably don't want to hear it. But they're hearing it. They're hearing it. I mean, when you guys have your dinners at your table and you have friends around who aren't like you, do you still say grace? And is some kind of benign kind of thing? You know? Like kids say, what do kids say, Sissy?
God is great.
Yeah, God is great, God is good. Thank you for our daily food, amen. Let's eat. Or are you praying to God? That's you have to kind of own that, right? Let's turn to Romans 10:17.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right, let's talk about that. Faith comes through hearing, which means hopefully everybody in this room, someone loved you enough to tell you the truth about Jesus. Would that be a fair statement? That's probably the truth. Somebody loved you enough that they told you. And told you what? They told you about Jesus, but from where did they get that? From the Bible. From the Bible. Now, if we say that the Bible is mostly true, most of it's true. The minute you said most of it's true, you now said what? None of it's true. Let me run that by you again. Let's all be on the same page here, right? You're in, you know, Theology 101. Jimmy, is this not true? The minute you say some of it's not true, Jimmy, then none of it's true. None of it can be the Word of God if it's not all the Word of God. Is that true? The reason why that is so, now you need to pay attention, you need to follow me, it's going to get good. It's worth your day trip here, there. When you say to me, I'm going to just pick something, you're going to say to me, well, there are 66 books. And of the 66 books, you say to me, this one is not true. Well, now what if somebody else across the aisle says to you, well, there are 66 books, but this one is not true. Now there's how many not true? Two. Well, what if somebody in the back of the church says, well, geez, you know what? I got the same feeling you got. And this one is not true. Pretty soon, all of them are not true. And who gets to decide what is truth? Well, in your example saying to me, well, this one's not true, you're now saying you are the judge of what is not true. You're saying, I'm the editor of the Bible, and I say, this one, this verse is not true. They get the idea? I like all of them except for this one, and this one's not true. You now became the editor and told God you know more than he knows. Lucky you. Anybody want to edit God? You do it. You do it. Well, I don't like this one. Oh. Well, you change it. I'm keeping it. Mark Twain said, it's not the things in Scripture I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things I do. That bothers me. Either every word is true or none of it is true. And if you believe that some of it is not true, then you have faith in somebody other than a holy God. And that's why you have no life. That's why. You don't have it. Because faith comes through hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What part of it? All of it. The part you like and the part you don't. You don't get to decide. Now see, here's the problem with it all, brothers and sisters. We are rugged individualists. You know what rugged individualists are? I don't need any help. I got it all covered. There might be some of those folks in this room. I'm a rugged individualist. I do what I want when I want, and I don't need you to tell me I can't. Well, how many know the Bibles are full of stuff that can't do's? Did you know there's some can't do's in the Bible? Oh yeah, there's some can't do's. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't commit adultery, do not lie, do not cheat, do not steal, do not murder. A bunch of do nots. How many, there's a lot of do nots in there? But there's a lot of do's too. Do love your brother. Do love your enemies. Who's glad that God didn't call a committee together of you to decide what should be in the Bible? How many know if we wrote it, there'd be some changes? We'd change that thing around, wouldn't we? And so what we got to understand is that faith in Jesus, but also faith in what? The Word of God that Butch is holding on his lap. Is it all true or is it not? How many say it's all true? It's all just the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's it. It's the Word of God. And then the minute you start to pull this stuff, oh, but it was handed down all those generations. You know how it could be different. Then you don't have faith in God then. You have faith in man. So if you say it's been handed down all these generations, you know, by the time, you know, Bartholomew told Lucius and Lucius told Matthew and then by the time it got here in 2014, it's got to be different. It's got to be different.
Why?
See, the only thing you possibly can tell me, well, because it has to be different. Because if I tell Butch something, Butch tells Sue, Sue tells Judy, Judy tells Sonny, Sonny tells Sissy, by the time it gets all the way back around over the shore, it's going to be what?
Different.
Yeah, but that's people. That ain't God. Right? That's people. And you're right. But that ain't who? God. You don't think God couldn't have figured out in 2014 you'd be saying stupid things like, but that was written back then and it went from it. You don't think God kind of figured that out? Really? Eric, how many, he got it covered, right? He probably, I can see him sitting in heaven now going, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, what am I going to do now? I didn't see that one coming. Those highly intelligent 2014 people. Oh, I should have seen it coming. How many know he saw it coming and he knew you wouldn't like it? How many know God is sovereign? Anybody know what sovereign means? Sovereign is a great theological term, and you need to understand it. God is omnipotent. What's that mean? All omnipotent, all powerful. Omnipresent.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Omniscient. All knowing. Merciful. Shows us mercy. Loving, grace, sovereign. You know what sovereign means?
Lord of all.
Lord of all, and what he said he's going to do. He's going to be just. What's he going to do? He's going to do it. How many have faith in that? That's what you got to understand, right? And so, we put our faith in Jesus, put our faith in the Word, and we come out of the tomb, take off the grave clothes, put on the new clothes, and start acting like you have a life so you can overcome the world. Well, what is the world we need to overcome? I gave you a list. We're going to talk about these things in the next couple weeks. Anxiety, boredom, depression, despair, discontentment, fear, grief, and loneliness. Put all those things together, and it comes up with a big word that has three letters in it, and it's not a good one. Sin. That's it. Faith overcomes what? Sin. Turn your Bibles, please, to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verses 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear.
All right. A lot of times, fact is, really truly, I told you this before, and it is the truth. It is the truth. It's getting better now because I keep saying this to folks. It's getting much better now. In a week's time, and really, guys, not just in this church, but the other thing I do, in a week's time, I probably see maybe 300 people. In a week's time, about 300 people. With all the worship services I do and stuff like that. How many times do you think people call me on the phone during the week? Or ask to see me, and I go over. And I'm serious now. Some will come over to me, and they'll say, hey, Pastor Tom, Bob needs to see you when the service is over. Okay. And I go over, and Bob is sitting in a chair, and I kneel down, and Bob, hey, what's up, Bob? In all those times I do that, how many people you think say, I just want to praise God? I called you over here. I just want to praise God. How many times in a week's time do you think that happens to me? None. People want what? Prayer, help, worry, health, right? That's what people want. Now, it's not that that's a bad thing. It's not that it's a bad thing, but I told you last week that we Bible thumpers need to do some what? Working on our own stuff, don't we? I give you all permission to read the Bible next week. In case you didn't think you could. Some of you were raised in a Roman Catholic tradition, Sissy was, and Sissy, you told me that when you were a little girl, you didn't read the Bible, right? The priest did. I'm giving you all permission. Next week, you can all read God's Word. Because it'll be a test. Oh, not from me. From the world. And from God. Remember I told you that when Lazarus came out of the tomb, after 4 days of being dead, and people came, John 12, people came to see Jesus and who? Why did they see Lazarus? Why do they want to go see him for? They want to see what a dead man walking looks like. Hey, Jesus, I'll be right back. Where's that Lazarus at? I heard he'd been dead for 4 days. Well, guess what? When you said you were born again, that means you were dead too. You say, I'm born again. People want to say, oh, what does a born again person look like? Well, you're still doing that same old stuff. You sound like the same person before you was born again. I mean, you really? I mean, you're down and everything like you were before? You're talking about Mary back in the mailroom like you were before? I mean, you're saying the same things like you did before? Ooh, what's this born again stuff? You look like the same person to me, act like the same person to me, say the same thing like you did before. What do you? Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, if I can act like you go to heaven, sign me up. Help me understand the problem. That's the problem, right? And so, our problems, we go to the Lord for help. So many people know to do that. Now, conversely, I asked you, and 300 people I see every single week, I told you, how many people just call me over to them and say, hey, I just want to praise God? The number is probably zero, but how many of them are asking for help from the Lord? All the rest. Sometimes they're not hearing from God. And they'll say to me, well, God's not helping me. Is it possible that God would not help you, do you think? That's a good question, isn't it? Is it possible that God may not help you? Well, Scripture says right here, doesn't it? Sissy, read that again. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. Let's listen to that again.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save.
Hold it. Does that mean God cannot help you? Does that mean God cannot help you, Eric? He can. It's not that his arms are not long enough, which means what? It's not that he can't reach down and help you. It clearly says here, it's not that his arms are shortened that he cannot save. Sissy?
Ear heavy that it cannot hear.
Oh, no, wait a second. It doesn't mean that God got deaf all of a sudden. Does it?
No.
It doesn't say that. It says, hey, it's not that his arms are too short or too weak to help you. Hey, it's not that he didn't hear you cry out to him. It's not that. Good, Sissy.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God.
Your sin has separated you from God. Let's just finish it.
And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
Not that he cannot hear. It's what? He will not hear. Let's talk a little bit about earthly mothers and fathers. Let's suppose that your child disobeyed you. And you'd asked your child to do something and your child just absolutely refused to do it. Refused. The kid comes to you 30 seconds later and says, hey, can I have a new bike? What do you think, Sue? Not happening. Did you hear the request? Could you provide it? But you choose what? Why not? Pretty simple. Don't make it complicated. It's pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple. The kids bring home straight F's. You said to your child, I told you to do your homework. Here's the note right here that says, Billy's not doing his homework. The kid said, I know, but I want to go to movie night with my friend. What's the answer? Did you hear the request? Could you give him the money? But you choose. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. But why are you choosing not to do what I ask? I don't know. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help. No. Do what I tell you. Help me, Lord. God says, I am the Lord God, and I will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. You sow to destruction, you get destruction. About 7-8 years ago, I was at the Light of Life, and I was doing a worship service there. And I did the music, I did the preaching, and a guy came up to me. He said, Pastor Tom, will you pray for me? Sure. Help, right? What would you like me to pray for? I would like for you to pray for me that I don't get cancer. I said, well, yeah, I understand that, because I don't want to get cancer. Okay. Do you have cancer in your family? No. Okay, I'm just, you know, have you been told you had cancer? No. Do you have like lumps or something? No. Okay, well, help me. Help me so I know how to pray. Well, why are you concerned about cancer? Because I smoke. Oh. Well, quit smoking. No, that's why I want you to pray for me. I'm going to run that by me one more time, slow motion. I'm getting kind of old. I think I heard you say something, but you didn't say what you said to me. Say it again. Well, I want to continue smoking, but I want you to pray protection around me that I don't get cancer. No. That's not how this works. A man reaps what he sows. How many understand? That's the way it works. I mean, that is the way it works. That's the way it always works. Right? And so I said to him, I'll pray for you, and I did. Remove the nicotine demon and cast that, you know, all kinds of stuff. He got really mad at me, left, and you know, whatever. But sin separates you from God. Well, I don't feel separated. Well, maybe because you're never connected. Ain't that something? Well, I don't feel any different. Well, maybe that's the first problem. You should have felt different when you came out of the tomb. Is that not true? Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. Sissy, read it one more time. You still have it there for me, please, honey.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear.
Does anybody need for me to explain that any further than I already have? Just in case we need clarification, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12.
For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
That's pretty clear, right? Eric, that's pretty clear. His eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ear is open to their prayers, but his face is turned against those who do evil. You know what that means? You know what that means? Let me see if I can't help you by giving you an example of how that means. His face is turned towards those who are righteous. Shar cries out to the Lord, and the Lord comes over, and he just gets right. What can I do for you, Shar? Right, he's right there. What can I do for you, Shar? But for those who do evil, his face is against them. What you do? Pretty powerful stuff. So who is in control of whether the Lord hears you or not? You are. Don't blame God. Don't blame me. You know your deal. I was talking to a guy at a place, and this guy's really struggling with some issues, and really, really struggling with a lot of issues. And in my talk with him, I uncovered he has an addiction to pornography. Now, that's a big deal. That's another reason why he's got a lot of issues. He can't go to church on Sunday and pray to a holy God, and on Monday get on the computer. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. God says, I am the Lord God, and I will not be mocked. Right? A man reaps what he sows. What you think you do in private is not private. What you think you do, and you hide from everybody else, you are not hiding from a holy God. What you think you do that no one else knows, he knows. Is that true?
Yes.
And when you cry out to the Lord, you make sure you understand what the deal is. Like I said last week, when I talked about high-maintenance Christians, I clearly said it. I said, you know what your issue is. And you don't need me to fill out a great big questionnaire to find out what it is. Help me understand that too. If I passed out a sheet of paper, at least theoretically, I passed out to everyone else, I said, write down your issue. How many have to think about it for like 3 days? How many know? Do you know what it is? Right? So I would just say to you what? Fix it. Fix it. You really, really, truly need to call someone like me to spend 4 years with you to fix it? When you really should just what? Fix it. Because you are born of the living God. And you should just do what, Leonard? Fix it. Fix it. The only reason why it won't be fixed is because why? You choose not to. You choose not to. In this room here today, how many of you feel so close to God? He's like with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anybody feel that way? Man, I feel His presence every single minute of every single day. I really do. If you don't, is it because you don't have time?
No.
It's because you're not willing? He doesn't like you? How many know God does not zap people? How many know if God zapped people for evil, how many of you be zapped? I mean, if God was out to get us, really now, if God was out to get us, how many would have been gotten by now? If God was going to zap us out into oblivion, guess how many people would there be left with? None. There'd be nobody to get go. They'd be getting gone. That's just the way that it is. Let's do one more, brothers and sisters. Let's do one more. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. If you're one of those kinds of gals and guys that like to memorize scripture, highlight, and things like this, just be one of the big ones, right? Romans 3, 23. You ought to be able to quote this one. Highlight it. Jimmy, is it okay to write in Bibles? Especially if it's yours, right? Romans 3, 23. Sissy.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's it. Okay, logic 101. Systematic theology, Jimmy. Systematic theology. Here we go. Who's in the all?
Everyone.
So who's not in the all?
No one.
That's simple. End of statement, Whitey. All have fallen short. Who's in the all, Whitey? Everybody. Who's not in it? Nobody. How many of you are in the all? So when you sit there and you think that you're the only one on the face of the earth that sinned, how many can say, no, they're not? all have fallen short, Scott. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Let's do James chapter 2, verse 10. I lied. I do one more. That's why I lied. I can't believe I lied. James 2, 10. James near the back in the New Testament.
For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all.
Ooh. Let me just put that in English for you. Everybody knows that there are white lies and whoppers. You have a little white lie, and you have... How many have told white lies before, little white lies? How many have told whoppers? All the rest of you didn't raise your hand? That's your first one? Do you know if you tell little white lies and whoppers, you're still a liar? You're a liar. But I'm a little liar. Well, you're still a liar. You're still a liar. Is that true, Eric? If you tell a little white one, guess what you are, Mike? You're a liar. Right? You're a liar. And let's just suppose that there are 10 laws. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't lie. But you say a little teeny weeny little white itsy bitsy little teeny weeny, like, why are you late? Traffic. Guess what that just made you? Not only are you a liar, but you're a lawbreaker. You just broke the law. See, it's not which ones you break. It's that you broke them. Which one? All of them. You're a lawbreaker. See, we want to think about, well, at least I didn't do this and this and this and this and this and this, and I only did that. How many understand that? At least I'm not like all them other 50 million people. I only did this. Oh, you should be the Pharisee. Oh, I thank you, God. I'm not like all the rest of those heathens. I'm just a little heathen. No. You're a lawbreaker. How many lawbreakers in this room? We're lawbreakers. And because we're lawbreakers, we deserve what? Death. Hell. Because we're lawbreakers. Anybody thanking God that His great love and mercy saved us from that? Woo! So when you come out of the tomb, what should you take off? Take off your grave clothes. And put on what? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for the opportunity to hear Your word today, Lord, and Help us understand that we need to be some overcomers, not succumbers, overcomers. And the way we're going to overcome the world is through our faith. Our faith in what Jesus said he is, who he is, and Lord, what you will do for us if we just learn to follow the rules. Lord, help us to follow the rules. Lord, in the weeks ahead, next week we'll pick back up with overcoming sin. We'll go into all the rest of the overcoming the world statements, Lord, and help us to not only have eternal life, but to have a life. A life. That people can look at us and not have to wait until we're laying prone somewhere for some pastor to say he went to heaven. Lord, people should know we go to heaven when they meet us tomorrow. They should know that we have that kind of life. And all of God's people said, amen.